Good morning. I hope that you're well. I hope that you're coping. Please let us know if you're not, won't you? You know our number. Today, Palm Sunday, is the beginning of Holy Week. And it's a Holy Week that's obviously going to be very different than any Holy Week we've known before. It's going to be very strange not seeing each other. But we'll be sending you reflections during the week. And also posting some of the things that we'd hoped to do during this week online. I'm going to begin by posting some of the music and reflections from the Tenebrae service online tomorrow evening. This was a new service that we wanted to do this year. Thank you to Rob, our organist, who's managed to overlay some of the voices of our own music group onto the recordings of him playing. So, despite being technically challenged, I'm hoping to be able to add them to reflections. So do go online and listen tomorrow evening. And keep an eye on St. Peter's website this week, as it will be updated regularly. We'll also send out what we can as a paper copy for those who haven't got access to a computer. And next Sunday, I'm planning on live streaming an Easter Day service. We'll get it up on the website as early as we can, so please join in. I'll send you some liturgy in the week so we can all worship together on Easter Day, even if it is from a distance. Now, as it's Palm Sunday today, I'm going to read the Passion Gospel and then do a short reflection afterwards. This is a long Gospel passage. So if you're listening to this, do feel free to pause the recording now, make yourself comfortable, or go and get a cup of tea even. Let us pray. Lord, let your holy word speak into our hearts and lives as we walk with you to the cross this week. Amen. The gospel is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 11 to 54. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So, after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man. For today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then he asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes amongst themselves by casting lots. And they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself if you're the Son of God. Come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now and we'll believe in him. He trusts in God, let God deliver him if he wants to. For he said, 'I am God's son.'" The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once, one of them got up and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah will come and save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those who were with him, who were keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Today is the first day of the last week of Jesus' life. This week will stretch him to the limits. This week will take all he's got. This week, his life will be given for the sins of others, starting with Barabbas. The week starts well, with Jesus entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, surrounded by people shouting "Hosanna!" and cutting down palm branches to spread in his path. Less than a week later, some of the same people will be shouting, "Crucify him!" The crowds were stirred up by the chief priests, were calling for Barabbas to be released and Jesus to be crucified. Barabbas was a well-known local rebel. He'd been involved in a revolt against the Romans in which someone had been killed. But to the locals, anyone who could fight against the local authorities was a hero. The crowds were faced with the choice: Barabbas the rebel rouser, or Jesus, who hadn't turned out to be the leader they'd hoped. He hadn't come marching in with an army of soldiers to overthrow the Roman authorities. He came as a servant king. This year, because of coronavirus, Jesus' actions during the week are even more relevant to us than normal. You see, a cloud of tension and unease hung over all the events of this week, and yet through it all, Jesus quietly went about his business, responding with love to his disciples and followers. And sometimes Christian leadership means challenging the status quo. Sometimes it means being sure of God's call on your life and listening to God, not others who shout loudest or those who make the most fuss. Sometimes it means being true to God even when others think differently. In the last few weeks, we've all been inundated with news stories and comments about what we could all be doing better. However, you don't have to look very hard to see lots of people quietly doing what they can to help others. For instance, I have been blown away by the amount of food that has travelled through St. Peter's Church this week. You would not believe it. Each morning, the church is full of bags of food, and by lunchtime, it's all gone. The bags have been collected by health visitors, by homeschool link workers, social workers and other agencies to deliver to those in need. Then, each day, some fantastic food bank volunteers fill the church up again completely, ready for the next day. I've also heard lots of stories of people shopping for their neighbours, people phoning each other to see if they can help, or just checking on those who are lonely. These people aren't doing anything to whip up a crowd. They're not looking for praise or adoration. They're simply serving others. And if you're one of these people, then keep it up. You're doing a great job, even if it'll never make the headlines. I'm sure that in years to come, it's going to be the way that we've served each other that we will remember, not the other things. The crowds chose Barabbas. But in this narrative, it's Jesus, the servant king who goes to his death, not just for his followers, but for all of humankind. It's not that we shouldn't acknowledge the pain that we feel. The pain that we feel because we can't see our loved ones during this time, or acknowledge the frustration of being isolated. Do you know, later this week, even Jesus was reduced to tears in the Garden of Gethsemane. We're not called to be superhuman. So if you're feeling sad or just fed up, that's okay. Because Jesus, who went to the cross, is with us. He's with us in our pain and our frustration, in the uncertainty of what will happen in the weeks to come. He's with us as we live our lives now, one step at a time. To some, the cross is a sign of execution and torture, but to Christians, it's a sign of love and hope. As we place our palm crosses in our homes today, we know that through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, we are loved and forgiven, and we live with the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ, the servant king, who gave his life for us. As you find a place to keep your palm cross, you may want to say this prayer. Lord, bless all who see this cross. Protect us when we leave our homes, and may we find your welcome on our return. We look forward to the time we can welcome others into our homes again. Amen. God bless you.